Hello and welcome to Logan City Christian Church Podcast. Today we have an impactful teaching by Dr. Reginald Klimenok. Dr. Klimenok's preaching has touched the lives of many, inspiring and challenging audiences with his deep insights into the Bible and Christian theology. Join us as we delve deep into his powerful messages, uncovering timeless truth and practical wisdom that can transform our lives today. Get ready to be inspired, encouraged, and equipped as we journey through the rich tapestry of Dr. Klimenok's preaching.
Tonight, I have very full notes on this, but it all takes money to copy. So if some of you want this, put your name down. It'll cost at least about 10 pages. So 50 bucks, is it? Thank you. It's, I think, about 10, I don't know if it's 10 or 15 cents a page, and wherever they do the copying or whatever. If you want to have one, put your name down and I'll copy it for next week and have it for you. So it's the power of the blood. It's teaching I've not done yet. So if you would like to have it, do that tonight. Put your name, Elise, where art thou? Where's Bert gone? They're coming back, okay. I want to give you a number of scriptures as we start this and link them with various other ones to see the fulfillment of them. I don't know how far I'll get, but I'm personally convinced some of the greatest attacks of the enemy over people's lives is the intimidation and accusation of the enemy. Two very strong demonic forces that keep attacking us and causing us to remain ineffective before the Lord. Now in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 28, Jesus said, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, and said to the disciples, take, eat. Most amazing moment of truth. This is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks and gave, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood, this is the New Testament, this is the new blood of the New Testament, new covenant which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Now in the Old Testament, in Exodus 24, please, verses 6 to 8, you'll have the scriptures in the notes. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Exodus 24, 6, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do and be obedient. That was, what's that? They couldn't do it though. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning these words. Now understand, as Jesus said that to these Israeli people, they began to understand things much more than we understand. Because there they go back and they say that very powerfully. And here Jesus said, this is the covenant which the Lord hath made with you. And Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Very powerful. In Revelation chapter 12, please, in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 12. And the great verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. This, we're in that deception constantly, and especially these days. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I'd like to read this, not really. And the huge dragon was cast out, and the age-old serpent is called the devil and Satan, the seducer and deceiver of all humanity. The world over is forced out and down to the earth, and his angels with him. Now, I want you to see Genesis 3:1, just this comparison very clearly. Now the serpent, verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord hath made, and he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, he shall eat of the garden. He deceived her. Verse 14, go to it, please. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed above all the cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then he says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. one of the great scriptures of the Bible, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, Zechariah chapter 3, we're just this comparison I want to do with you. Zechariah chapter 3, I hope I've got it mixed, yes, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. Here is Satan doing this very thing that the Revelation 12 talks about. And the Lord said unto Satan, Lord, rebuke thee, O Satan, that chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this the brand plucked out of the fire? Verse, the next verse in Revelation, we're just going to compare. And I heard a strong voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and power of the kingdom, the dominion reign of our God, and the power of the sovereign Lord and authority of his Christ, the Messiah. The accuser of our brethren, who keeps bringing before God our charges against them day and night, has been cast out. Now go to Job, the book of Job. I'm reading another translation. You with me? I went to Revelation 12. I'm back to Job 1. Are you all with me? Thank you, sir. You always are, John. Amen. Then Satan answered, verse 9. This is now in Job chapter 1, verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fee thee for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. Thou dost what? What did God do? He blessed the work of his hands, and substance is increased in the land. You've got to believe that. Come on, church. You've got to claim that. Your victory is, as you'll see tonight, by saying it is written, by declaring what the word says. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee in the face. He was the accuser of the brethren. Notice that in Job. All right, and they overcame or conquered him. With another translation, that's why we're confused. By the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of the testimony. For they did not love and cling to the life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for the witnessing. Therefore be exalted, O ye heavens, you that dwell on them, and woe unto the earth and the sea. For devil has come down to you in fierce anger, fury, because he knows he only has a short time left. And I believe we're in this time at this present hour. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, let this truth that is so powerful, let it be imbibed in our spirit and heart and life tonight. Let it revolutionize us, Jesus, that we'll understand the power of the blood of Jesus and the cross. And all the people said, it is my conviction that the understanding of Calvary, when understood, will bring forth freedom to every one of us. To understand what God has accomplished through the cross and through the blood of Jesus Christ, particularly, brings freedom to us. If you want a very effective, believing, sound, foundational life with God, you must understand the cross and the forgiveness that God offers you and the totality of forgiveness that God gives you through the cross of Jesus Christ. The work of Jesus is what we call vicarious. In other words, it was on our behalf. He was our substitution. He did all of this. He didn't need any of this. He did it all for us. And here lies one of the greatest keys, I believe, for effective living. He did whatever he did on our behalf. He shed his blood on our behalf. For the remission of sins, not his sins, our sins. And we need to learn how important this is. Because in the last days, the Bible says here, that Satan will come down with incredible intensity to deceive and to destroy and to accuse. And unless you know what to do and how to confront the powers of darkness, time and time again, people will be defeated. The only way that the church will truly overcome is by the testimony they have concerning the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the blood to me is everything. We have to, it's not just speaking empty words. Remember, when Jesus faced Lucifer in that temptation, which shows us how we should live, he didn't say, "I'm the Son of God. How dare you accuse me? How dare you say these things?" He went back and said, "It is written." You have that. He's showing us how we can live. You have that same book, the same promises, the same covenant, filled with a promise. It's just that one I mentioned. It says, "God bless Job." What a powerful promise that is. Who blesses us? God does. Who robs us? Satan does. Simple principle, but it's there. And you must begin to say likewise with deep conviction from the depth of your heart, from the depth of your spirit. It is written. In these days of sensuality and immorality, and where the weapons are so strong, unless you understand what the blood has done, how the blood atones for us, how Jesus carried upon himself the sins of the world, literally became sin for us. When you look at that cross, it was a horrendous scene. Many had been crucified there. Much blood had been spilt upon the ground there. And then the Holy Son of God, as the high priest said last week, took the sacrifice, as he always did, because the Levitical priests were the mediator in the Old Testament with the blood. So now the high priest did not know even what he was doing, but he did it and offered the holy Lamb of God upon, remember what John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." He said he's the Son of God, he's the baptized in the Holy Ghost, but he also said, "Behold the Lamb of God." In Isaiah chapter 53, when it speaks about Jesus Christ and his suffering, in the early verses it says, just before Isaiah 53, if I may just turn to it if you allow me to, it says here, "Many were astonished at his visage," verse 14 to 52. "Well, his visage was so marred more than any other man, his form more than the sons of men," because he literally became sin for us. Can you imagine? The very embodiment of sin was in Jesus Christ. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him, that which they have not been told, then shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. There is no form or comeliness that we should see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. In the natural, as he hung there upon the cross, and even there was nothing about him, but he was the Holy Son of God. Can you say amen? Doing this for us upon the cross. And as we identify with the cross and the blood of Jesus, and as we declare it is written, victory comes to us. Can somebody say amen? Amazing forgiveness. The full measure of forgiveness comes to us. If you drink that chalice, that cup, to the fullest measure, place it upon your lips and see the glorious power of the cross. In Daniel, speaking of the last days, the Bible says, as it describes to us, I think in chapter 11, the deceitfulness of the Antichrist and so on. And then it says in verse 32, "They that know the Lord shall be strong and shall do exploits." The key is for you and me to know the Lord. And we'll be strong. And I'm trying to make sure that you know the Lord tonight in these powerful principles. I believe the blood is so powerful, and that's why it's been attacked so viciously upon this earth in these days. Those who try to minimize the blood, those who blasphemously mock the blood. My personal conviction is even that word bloody that is used so much is a real attack upon this holy Son of God who gave his life for the sins of the world. And that's a very, if you read my book on Overcoming the Giants, I deal with the various words which we use that are so insidious in their attack against the holy Son of God. Do you know that many denominations, Leslie Weatherhead years ago, who was the leader in England of the Methodist Church, said, away with that bloody religion. And they literally took the blood of Jesus Christ out of all their hymns. The Baptists did the same thing in England. They took the words about the blood of Christ. They didn't want to present in any way the power of the blood of Jesus. What an insidious, cunning, vicious attack against the most important factor of our life. Can you say amen? Because, you know, then there are those who stupidly mock the blood and don't even realize what they're doing. It's so sad. And there are those who sacrilegiously and philosophically reject the blood. The philosophy of man is this, that this man, Jesus, was a great man. There was no one like him, who gave himself as no one did, but not for atoning sins. He was just the great example of mankind who overcame the attacks of the world by his supreme sacrifice. But the power, there's no redeeming power in the blood, as far as they're concerned. There's no power in the cross to redeem. And then there are those who literally minimize the blood of Jesus. And there's some of us amongst us here, I hope there's none here now after all my teaching on this, because they don't realize the incredible power that there is in the blood. It's all to do with the overcame and by the precious blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Zechariah spoke prophetically when he said, there is a fountain open in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. You know, I think this can be understood in the depth of the completeness of this covenant. When Jesus that night said, this is my body which is broken for you, he wasn't referring to something that will happen one day in the future. He was literally taking that bread and breaking it, saying, this is my body now. This is what's going to happen to me, which is broken for you. It began, yes, when he was born, when he took the body of a human being, the Holy Son of God. God was manifest in the flesh. But in the book of Hebrews and Psalms shares with us something which may have happened in the councils of eternity as the Son of God deliberately gave himself for the sins of the world. But it says in Hebrews 10 verse 5, quoting from the Psalms, Hebrews 10, 5, wherefore when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings was thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. And then in verse 7 it says, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. He came to fulfill the will of God Almighty. This is maybe those few hours, in my estimation, not maybe, but true, was the most pivotal point of history when Jesus, the Holy Son of God, came and gave his body and sacrifices life upon the cross until finally he cries, it is finished! And he rose and he went to the depths of hell and rose from the dead, triumphant, completing the great work for all of us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, Christ, our Passover, as Israel would celebrate the Passover. It says, the Bible says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Revelation chapter 1, it says, verse 5, unto Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, Revelation chapter 1, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, the blood. Chapter 5, it says, in chapter 5, and these are redeemed in heaven, it says, verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, because it unfolds the purpose of God upon the earth in the last days, this book, and bring out the seals, and then the trumpets, and then the vials, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, hallelujah, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, hallelujah. This is amazing. They now understood what we should understand now. Kings, and we shall reign on the earth. We can reign now. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So these great truths, these great powerful truths, and remember that a Jew would understand the completion of this. The Jew would know what it meant to to come into this blood covenant, because their whole relationship with God was always on a blood covenant. Remember when God made a covenant with Abraham? Abraham literally gave some blood, so to speak, in that circumcision, and sealed the covenant with God, and God swore by himself, as I told you last Sunday night, to show the power of the covenant. They understood that when they came with the sacrifices, that in this way their sins would be forgiven until they came again. And they understood that they're accepted only through the blood. And they'd bring the sacrifices. It sounded very gruesome. All day long they'd bring the lambs and the turtle doves and whatever they would bring, and bring it as a atonement for their sins, as a covering for their sins. And then finally, I'll show you in a minute. See, and the great day, we were in Israel once in the Day of Atonement, actually. We went to a Jewish synagogue and celebrated the Day of Atonement. Somebody graciously got us in. But remember, once a year, so that's why the things that Jesus was saying were understood by the Jews. Once a year, Jesus, the high priest, would go in with a sacrifice for the sin of the nation. This is the big thing with Israel. Would go in, and he would literally, they put a rope around his ankle, lest he die there because the sins were not accepted. Because I'm talking about the holiest of all now. I'm not talking about the holy place. I'm talking about where no one could go, and only once a year would do this. And there would be the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant, and what was significant was the glory cloud would rest upon it all day long. And in the night, the fire would be upon it. Such a significant visible demonstration of God's presence and glory. And he would go in there, and he would bring the sacrifice, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And the cherubims would be over there overlooking that. And if they didn't hear him, they'd drag him out. But suddenly they heard the bells ringing on his garments, and everybody would shout, "We are accepted for another year, hallelujah." Now, so they understood more than we do, maybe at times, in there, because they had been. But remember, all these things were tentative and could never totally take away sin. Go to Hebrews, please. You should study Hebrews time and time again. These few chapters I give you today, because they're so powerful. Hebrews 10, verse 11, 7 says, "On the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood," say not without blood, "which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. For the Holy Ghost signifying," verse 8, "that the way to the holiest was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing." This was a figure then, of course, of Jesus Christ, which served, it says in verse 10, meats and drinks and divers washing and ordinances. They did all that stuff constantly. But Christ, verse 11, "being a high priest of good things to come, brought a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place," once, say once, once, say it again, "having obtained eternal redemption for us." Oh, hallelujah. "For the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of the heifer, sprinkling of the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Ghost, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience or consciousness of sin from dead works to serve the living God." Can you say amen? "And for this cause he's the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that are under the first, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." I have an inheritance in heaven. When I get to heaven, I'll be surprised what God has for me. It'll be for one reason, because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, your excitement enthuses me. Because of all that Christ has done for us. And then it says, for example, verse 9, "for when Moses," he says, "spoken every precept unto all the people," remember, I just read that to you before, "into the blood of the calves and goats and water, scarlet and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined on himself," and so on. And verse 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But now, verse 26, it says, but now at the end of the world, in the middle of verse 26, hath Jesus appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it's appointed that a man once to die and after death the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sin once. Sorry about that. Once. How many times? Once. To bear the sins of many. My sins. Say my sins. And unto them that look for him, he's coming back, shall he appear the second time without sin. Is that our sin? Yes. Not, he didn't have any sin. We would be without sin, hallelujah, because of what? Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who has removed our, oh, precious Jesus, I love you. Come on, church. He's done it all for us. They understood this, as Hebrews points out, but theirs was tentative, constant. Ours is complete, once and for all. There's no repetition anymore. Hallelujah. Jesus did this, and it's done, and it's finished. And those who dare to accept what Christ has done, we don't need the blood of bulls and of goats. It's amazing that even in the Hebrew economy, all that was taken away. They hardly knew what they were doing, but it's all gone. Of course, they try to establish it at the end again, and it has some meaning maybe in its memory, but not in its power. It shows us the depth of the new covenant, the new testament, the new treaty, the new agreement that God made with you and I, that glorious relationship we now have with him. And I want you to grasp this. You literally now, it's not religion, it's relationship. Look at this scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, will you, with me for a minute? It's all got to be Bible. Can somebody agree with me? It's not in this book. I don't want to listen to it. Not theories, but what God says. In Hebrews, it says in verse 11, chapter 2, he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all one. Who sanctifieth? Jesus. Who are sanctified? We are. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. So when I call you a brother, because our sister, I haven't forgotten your name, it's still good. Amen. Because we are brothers in Christ. It says about John, he said, John the Apostle, your brother, he said, in tribulation. He was a brother. We are brothers and sisters. We're in a bond covenant with God. We are literally family. It's more than just more than you realize. You see, the church has lost so much of this. You'd never criticize my son. Well, he's my son. I'd fight for him tooth and nail. And likewise, we shouldn't criticize each other. We are brothers. Come on, church. We belong to each other. We're supposed to be close. Covenant partners with God Almighty. Jesus Christ is our elder brother, saying, verse 11, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren in the midst of the church. So what are we, the church? Well, I sing praises unto thee. And verse 12 says, for as much as then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver him who the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But notice what it says. We are literally brothers. And then it says in verse 17, wherefore in all things it behoved him, it was necessary for him to become like unto his brethren, that he might become the merciful and faithful high priest of things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Amazing words. And the danger is we can lose this by, you know, great words of theology. I tell you, this is real stuff. Come on, church. We are literally brothers of Jesus Christ. He's the elder brother. I'm related to him forever. Hello, brother, when I get to heaven. Amen. He's the eternal God. I know Jesus, the Son of God, but he's also my brother. And as I showed you this morning, you must grasp how important you are to God. And we're going to see that in a moment. Because Christianity is a living relationship with Jesus Christ, with our Heavenly Father. We can literally now pray, Abba, Papa, our Father which art in heaven. Hallelujah. That's why the Jews, that just blew their minds and their religion to pieces. And they're angry at him. Because he says, when you come, you can say, oh, they would even say God. They would just stop when they said the name of Yahweh. And actually, they would just, that's why it's like, they would just go, they thought being so awesome, they would be more accepted. Now Jesus said, when you pray, say, Abba, or our Father. And he did this, and they didn't like it, and they hated him for it. They couldn't grasp this amazing relationship that man has with God. But you see, it comes out of this covenant which we have. Understand, I've talked about this covenant before, but then I was even being understanding as I've read, that kings would make covenants with each other, and either themselves would cut themselves, and then they would bind in this way their blood together in partnership of covenant with each other. Or somebody would do it for them as a representative. And Jesus took the covenant and made a covenant with us. And as we accept the power of this covenant, we are sons and daughters of the living God. Somebody say amen. We belong to him. We have a glorious relationship that we enjoy with him every day. If you don't possess this, you don't possess anything. This is not religion. This is relationship. It's very simple, very powerful, very meaningful, very dynamic, very complete, very absolute. Nothing more is needed. God has forgiven us. God has changed us. We have a relationship with God Almighty. For example, when you go to Ephesians chapter 2, you grasp the significance of this when it says in verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy with his great love, when he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace and kindness. It shows us where we are lifted up to, where we belong. We are seated with Christ. All power is in us. Come on, church. Well, you should be the strongest people on earth. But you see, we don't grasp this. We wallow in the mire. We wallow in the dust of confusions and circumstances. Instead of seeing the power of our covenant. This is good stuff. I'm the Father. The power of relationship. And when you understand this, you'll never be trapped again by condemnation or accusation. Remember, the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren that accuses us before God. And he assails our minds, our hearts, with the sense of feeling, I'm not worthy, I'm not free from all of my sins, there must be something wrong with me. He's the accuser of the brethren. And his great attack is in the areas of the mind. His stronghold is the mind. And you've got to know what to do. You've got to be able to say it strongly, no matter what you think, no matter what you feel, it is written. You've got to say it powerfully and say it is what? Written. You must realize when doubts assail, when the attack comes, it is written. To see what the blood has done for you, the assurance of forgiveness of sins, the removal of condemnation. Because this is Satan's master plan. Understand this. To accuse you before God, I'm sure many times that look at Reg Klimanok. Look at his imperfections. But then he hears me say, the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Has cleansed me from all my sins. It is written, I'm righteous in the presence of God Almighty, because he made sin for us who knew no sin. It is written that I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm now a king and priest unto God. And Satan hates that. He'll do anything he can to confuse you out of that. That mumble and jumble about all kinds of stuff instead of saying what God says concerning you. That unworthiness, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation. And actually, that's where it stops. To them that are in Christ, and then it stops in the original. We've added to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's simply our covering. But it says there's no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus. And you must grasp the power. That's why I've got full notes, because I want you to grasp this. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. How? By nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2:14. We must recognize the glorious power and triumph of the cross and what that means. It's in Luke 10:19. It says, I give you power over the power of the devil. The Amplified Bible says, mental strength and ability against all the attack of power of the enemy. Somebody told me tonight that somebody that is completely in the depths of despair, you know, if they'd only realize that this devil attacking them and just know what to do and say, it is written. It is written. And recognize, now I've given the blood scriptures to you in the power lines or in that book, Entering God's Presence. I've got all the confessions about the blood because I feel that is so crucial to the effectiveness of our life with God, to be able to declare Satan hates that. And you bring back to your memory things that are factual out of your experience, your failures, and he'll do things that keep somehow attacking you because he doesn't want you to get on the offensive. He doesn't want you to be powerful. And the other attack that is so subtle. Now, in my book on Overcoming the Giants, in the last chapter, I deal with intimidation and accusation, because that's the strong attack of the enemy. There will be intimidation. See, in accusations, you declare what the Word says about the blood. Intimidations, you declare what God has done for us and who you are in Christ. Now, intimidation means you feel hopeless. You feel inadequate. You feel maybe things out of the past that has affected you and attacked you. You feel useless. You feel your needs and your struggles. You feel, you know, and Satan brings this upon you that you don't recognize, that you never feel worthy, that you never feel that you have a right to come to God. What a shocking lie of the devil. The Bible says in John 1:12, for as many as received in them gave you what? The right, the privilege to be what? Sons of God. We are kings and priests. You've got to recognize that. The song of the redeemed was that. You've got to recognize it now. It's nothing to do with your past. It's all to do with your future. No matter what your past, and people will use that at times. People will attack you. People will come with all kinds of words against you to undermine your effectiveness, to minimize your victory. And saints of God, you've got to somehow grasp the power. I don't care if I preach it 10 times to you until you grasp the power of all that God has done, because then you raise the divine effectiveness. It's my purpose to bring you into a place of divine effectiveness, not just to sit in the church and enjoy it. We had 36 people in our own fellowship last Wednesday. It was a miracle upon miracles. But I really believe we're ready, in many of us, to do something for God now. We're going to help you to step out. It's only the beginning of what I want to do. To divine effectiveness in God. To be what God wants us to be in Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? To be effective to the glory of his name. For example, Beth, can you... I'm not there yet. See, it's not just you coming here and saying, well, how lovely the church is, how nice to feel that, nice worship and so on. The real purpose is to lift you into divine effectiveness. So thrilled when God uses people going overseas and preaching and doing great things. Like the other day, Brother John shared with us where he went. Now, Brother shared when he went to Korea. Because God wants to use us, and God wants to use us here. Can you say amen? To the glory of God. But you've got to deal with accusations and intimidations, because you can do more than you think you can do. You are more than you think you are. You can be divinely effective. You can be powerful in God. You're not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. God has done so much for you. So much for you. Philippians 4:13 says, see, when Satan comes like this, may I just say, you should say, Satan, take your hands of me. take your filthy hands. Take your thoughts out of my brain. I am more than a conqueror. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I belong to Jesus Christ. You see, so many have things of the past that come up. Well, I failed there and failed there. But Jesus didn't use examples of perfect people. He took a thief on the cross. He took the woman of Samaria. He took people that hardly at times we would even accept. We wouldn't accept Peter as the preacher of the church because of the times he failed the Lord. He messed up big, certain times, but became the great apostle of God in Jesus Christ. So all of us can be used. Can somebody say amen? Philippians 4:13 says, I have strength, the Amplified Bible. Would you turn, Beth, for me as I ask you, as I get to this point, to 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Amplified Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:20. I go to Philippians 14. I have strength for all things in Christ who powers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. But I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Luke 10:9 says, I will give you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability. The big thing is mental strength. See, the focal point is you. Is you. God wants to affect you. God wants to change you. God wants to transform you. God wants you to become effective. God wants you to get into a place where intimidations have no power in your life. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is present tense at this very moment, our life shall appear. And God, we shall also appear with Him in glory. Come, bring that scripture to me, will you, Beth, please? In 2 Corinthians 5, let me read this. So you read it. I've got the mic, I suppose. I better read it. Let me read it before. What agreement? No, this is stated down. Yeah. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. Let me read that again. Listen. We are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you. That's what I'm doing tonight. But you are likewise an ambassador for Christ, and you're supposed to offer God's divine favor to others. Come on, church. You're supposed to bring that favor to many and bring it to the point of understanding. And don't allow intimidation or accusation to undermine you, to minimize. He's washed us from our sins and made us, as we read before, kings and priests. And what a desperate need there is for us to grasp this, to take hold of it with all our might and being. Now, I've prepared notes for you, or had the notes, so that you can go over that if you wish. Put your name down, I'll copy that for you. Because I cannot believe there's a truth more important than that. To understand the blood. Now, if you want what are the scriptures about the blood, they're in that book, Entering the Throne Room. They give you all the confessions about the blood you can make. Because it's crucial that you know. And you can say to the enemy, it is given. That's it. Because what's written is your new covenant with God. It's what God has done and what God has appealed to. I'm more than a conqueror. Christ in me. I'm being saved by His life. The life of God is in me. I belong to Him. Oh, how beloved. See, relationship must be real. I live constant relationship with my wife. sometimes it tends. No. But relationship has conditions, qualities, has something with God, it may be sometimes stronger than other times. But basically it's relationship. As with my wife, I have a relationship. So we are now, Jesus is a help, and sometimes he may talk to us strongly, but it's helping us for divine effectiveness. Never for destruction. Always to lift us further and higher. Never with intimidation. Maybe with conviction, but never with intimidation, to bring us to the place of divine effectiveness. Can you stand, please, and let's thank him, shall we? Atinga stungala ma shandra. Thank you, John. Mukara sitala mandarama. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the cross. As far as I'm concerned, that message is as important as any message I've ever preached. Because you've got to understand what the blood of Jesus Christ means to you. You're not going to make it because of your works. You, not one work of yours has any power. The relationship may mean more in the light of eternity and so on, but you've got to recognize it's all Jesus. You can't bring your righteousness like filthy rags. You've got nothing compared to the eternal, holy, pure God Almighty and the Son of God. But that means to say that I'm condoning sin, because if you're truly a Christian, you want to be righteous. You may be attacked, but you want to be holy. You want to please the Master. Can you say amen? You want to please God in every part of your life. Oh, Lord Jesus, just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the precious blood of the Son of God. What reaches the highest mountain and it clothed to the lowest valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power again. That gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose, it will never lose, it will never lose, it's mine. Oh, I'm happy. There's some that are being attacked with intimidation, accusation, they want prayer. I'm happy to pray with you. But I think there's so much in this truth that you can grab hold of. Because it's not so much my prayers alone that will do this. It's your application. It's your application of the Word. Unless you don't know Him yet, then you must come and give your life to Christ. But it's your application of the blood. You say, where do I get the scriptures? We've got them in that book. Not expensive. It's a small booklet. And we did have them in our notes and the power lines a long time ago, but I don't keep them in that sense for you. But you must understand who you are and what you are and where you are in Christ. And start being able to say it out of your heart. It is written. I'm a child of God. I have redemption, Ephesians 1, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Romans, I'm justified by his blood. Romans, read over Romans 3, 4, 5, and 6. Read over Hebrews 9 and 10. 9, it says we've got an eternal inheritance. You're going to have a great mansion up there. But he removes the conscience of sin. Read Hebrews 10. When the expiation comes, we have boldness now. It says we're without sin because of Jesus. Thank God. Can you say amen? Read that. Ponder over it. Some of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Mark them. Underline them. Confess them. say them time and time again until it reaches into the depths of your being and see the power of relationship with the living God who is real to you. Jesus Christ, your elder brother. But if there's any need you have, I'm happy to pray with you and help you. I hope this other doesn't sort of stop you coming. But I'm saying to you, you must grasp the power of your relationship. Start living it from the depths of your being until it reaches into the depths of your heart to the glory of the praise. If you want prayer, you're welcome to come. Come now, and I pray with you. I'm happy to pray. But if you want to go home, if you want those notes, you know, put your name down, and next week we'll have them for you, that you can pick them up, or in the morning we'll have them for you, that you can pick them up. I work out what it costs me, that's all I charge you, but I've got enough money to do it all free. I wish I had just that money to give it all away, but I can't do that. I've given a lot away already, but I'm happy to help you to receive the notes. These are full notes on the subject that I've preached on tonight, like a book to you. But you might like to have them and go over it, because I cannot overemphasize the blood of Jesus, the covenant of God, what He did for you, relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for our relationship, that You've done so much for us. You paid the price, the ultimate price. I'm redeemed today. I feel His presence. I'm telling you, I'm getting that special feeling since I've been all over my various parts of my body. I get it very clearly. I tell you, it's nothing greater than the blood of Jesus. Thank you. If someone to come for prayer, feel that they have needs for prayer, please come. I'm happy to pray. Thank you, Jesus. You say, I don't even know Jesus yet, but I want to know Him. Please come. Give your life to Christ. Make sure that you're truly redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Stand here and say, look, Satan, I've done it now, so get off my back. Come to Jesus tonight. Make sure you're right with God. Make sure your heart is right with God. Lord, we just ask You to keep us close to You. You're my brother, Jesus, my elder brother. You're not ashamed to call us. You, the Holy One. We that have had so much sin, You're not ashamed to call us brethren. Oh, I thank You, Jesus, for Your great love, for the great cross of Calvary, for incredible precious blood that You gave for the sins of the world. Now, Lord, keep us from falling. Remember, it's all Jesus. Unto Him who is able to keep you, to present you faultless before the throne of His glory with exceeding joy. It's all joy, church, when you really realize what God has done. It's all victory. It's all joy. Now grasp it. Grasp it. Start saying it. Start feeling it. Feel the power of your incredible redemption in Christ. And if God's talking to you to give your life to Jesus, please come. We're happy to help you. So the blessing of God rest upon every one of you as you go. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all the people said, Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in today's powerful message from Dr. Reginald Klimanoff. We hope this has touched your heart and inspired your spirit. Stay connected with Logan City Christian Church for more uplifting sermons and spiritual guidance. Follow us on social media to join our community and stay updated on all our latest happenings. Remember, together we grow in faith and love. Until next time, may God's blessing be with you always.